Hi, Clutter Fairy fans. Welcome to the Clutter Fairy Weekly for April 20th, 2021. I'm your co-host, Ed Gumnick, broadcasting from Clutter Fairy East Deck Annex. And I'm speaking with Gail Goddard, professional organizer and owner of the Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas.
Hi, everybody. The Clutter Fairy Weekly is our weekly webcast and podcast where we talk about all things organizing. And we use all of your comments on social media as source material to drive our topics, which we are actually doing today. So thank you so much for doing that. And please keep it up. We love it.
Yeah, we had several inspirations for today from comments and viewer questions. And we actually have been getting so much good stuff lately that we have a long list of upcoming topics, and we're even prepared to announce next week's topic. Woohoo! If you're joining us in the Zoom meeting for the first time, you can share your comments and questions via the chat, and I'll try to make sure Gail gets to them before we move on to another topic. You can also use the raise hand feature to let me know that you'd like to ask a question or make a comment yourself via audio or video. We're streaming the webcast live on Facebook, so you can also share your questions and suggestions there, and I'll relay them to Gail. And during the live webcast every week, you can talk to us directly by calling 669-900-6833. Use meeting ID 993-419-863 and password clutter to join the meeting. Okay, let's get on with our show. We're going to first follow up to last week's weekly tittle, which was called Turn Over a New Leaf or Take a Fresh Look at an Old One. Our topic last week was habits, so our assignment was to pick a new habit that you'd like to cultivate or to examine an old habit that you'd like to modify or eliminate. Then we gave suggestions about how to clarify your intentions, to identify triggers, to find or set up an appropriate context for the habit change you'd like to make, and finally, to practice the shift in behavior. We'd love to hear from our live audience about your success with, or at least attempts at, tackling this assignment.
We realized this was really an ambitious assignment, but the good news is that if you did any part of it, you're a step closer to the change you're trying to make in your life and your space. Ed, did you try to do anything with this tittle?
I did. Since we are kind of wrapping up our move, I've been sort of experimenting with transplanting useful old habits and leaving less constructive ones behind. You know, I'm sort of taking advantage of the new environment to try new things.
Right.
For example, since we have a backyard for the first time in a few years, I'm composting again. And that means paying attention to the kitchen tasks that produce compostable waste. Each of those things is a trigger. You know, you peel an orange, that's a trigger. And so introducing new habits to route that stuff to a kitchen compost collector instead of into the trash or down the drain. So that's my habit experience for the week.
There's nothing like moving to, you know, toss up all of your ingrained entrenched habits when you pack everything up and go into a new environment. Then of course that move is going to mean that you have to reestablish some of those habits. And some of them translate from one house to the next, and some of them don't. And you have to rebuild new ones to go with a new space. So not surprised that you're having to do that now. And actually relating to a move, the move that I was working on happened this past week, and it was a 15-hour move day, which was torture. I have to tell you, by the end of the day, part of the reason for such a long move is their new home. So they bought a 3-story townhome, and all of the floors are stacked with a set of narrow turning stairs and a small elevator. So getting furniture up 3 flights of stairs with 6 turns on the route made getting into the home a huge struggle. Of course, all the tall furniture for the office and the master bedroom had to go to the 3rd floor. It was super painful. The new townhouse is going to force a change of habits, though, very immediately for this couple, because they've lost a lot of storage space and the kitchen is a small room. So there's no room to store bulk purchases, and there's definitely no room to leave bulk purchases lying around. And they can't, like, they might be able to store some things on 1 floor, but the kitchen's on the 2nd floor. And so there's going to be goods coming into the front door on the 1st floor, and they're already separated from the floor they're supposed to be on where they're going to get used. So if it's going to the bathroom, it needs to be on the third floor. It's going to the bedroom. I mean, the kitchen, it needs to be on the second floor, and it's all coming in on the first floor. So it creates this process where you can't store very much where you use it. So they're going to have to make adjustments to fit comfortably into this house. They're going to have to alter their buying habits. So they're not buying and getting shipped large bulk shipments to the house. They're going to have to shift to making small purchases more often to keep the home supplied. And I'm really crossing my fingers that they can make this adjustment. The feedback is going to be immediate though, because they'll quickly be crowded out once one or two of the bulk purchases shows up. They will be already like immediately distressed and crowded in their space. So we'll see how they adjust. I'll report back and send more updates as they happen.
Okay. Lise said, revisiting behavior out of whack from COVID, I have tried to set up mm-hmm. things before going to bed for the next day and writing out a task list for the day.
That's a good one. That's a very good one. And just, I'm not a morning person, and just the idea of sort of staging yourself the night before so that you don't have to put so much effort and brain power in getting in motion in the morning, that can only be, stress relieving and helpful for your process. Good job.
Okay. We had a comment from a YouTube viewer that we wanted to talk about. Okay. This is a very useful suggestion. This was from Carrie on YouTube. She wrote, I have a downsizing question I've begun asking myself. If this didn't belong to me and I were cleaning out my house after I'd passed, would I keep, donate, recycle, or throw this away? Cleaning out my parents' apartment after my mom's death has changed my perspective. If I find something I think my children would want, I ask them and let them know that they don't have to feel obligated to take it. They've taken a few things, but so far most has been donated.
And Carrie, that is an excellent perspective. And most of us don't gain that perspective until we have to go and clean out someone's house. So if you can learn from our experience and imagine doing that process, even if you haven't already done it so far, imagine if your house was actually being cleaned out by someone else after you're gone. What would be the choices about how to handle something then? Your heirs will not want it all, for sure. And the more they have to handle, the more overwhelmed they'll be. So this is a perfect question to be filtering, using it as a filter. If I was the heir and I was standing there looking at the object, what would I be thinking about it? Would I be cursing under my breath? Or would I be thinking this is really valuable, I need to keep it? And given that anybody that's in that position is doing it from a point of grief, you have to know that your grief response is going to color your choices a little bit. So if you can have the conversation with yourself now, while you're not in a state of grief, it might be easier to make the choices and let some of that stuff go, so that when the people that are actually crying about dealing with your stuff will have less to cry over. And, that can only be helpful. So thank you for that perspective, Carrie. It's a good one and I appreciate it.
Yeah. And I'll restate that. I'll recast that question for anybody who it may have gone by too fast. If I were someone else cleaning out my house after I'd passed away, would I keep, donate, recycle, or throw away this item? I think that is a really great question.
Yeah, it totally changes the way that you view it.
Okay, let's get on to the main topic.
Okay.
So the background for this is My sister and her husband and Jaime and all of our friends seem to be talking a whole lot lately about how ready we are to take off our pandemic weight and to get back into the good habits that we left behind when we went into lockdown.
Right.
So Jaime and I joined the Y this week. He is there right now having a swim. And I am very excited to be getting back into a swimming routine too. But I had to refresh my memory about all the stuff involved in a task as simple as going for a swim. And in our slightly jumbled post-move state, Jaime managed to scare up a swimsuit, a pool towel, goggles, and flip-flops for me. The only thing I couldn't lay hands on was a lock for the gym locker. So I stopped at Ace Hardware on the way to sign up and to take my first swim in more than a year. I know that counts as throwing money at the problem, but I didn't want to let a $10 combination lock stand between me and getting back in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I thought we might talk this week about the tension between our goals for health and recreation and managing all of the stuff they require. And we're calling this topic From Aerobics to Zumba, Organizing for Fitness and Fun.
And you know, it's spring and this is where everybody starts getting back into their routines about going outside more. And oh, now it's a reasonable temperature. I can go walk and instead of being frozen. I can be out and come back and not be an icicle and things like that. So it makes walking the dog is not as scary as it was when it's sub-zero temperatures outside. I have a client who has three boys that are all grown now, and she's also diabetic. And so she's managing a diabetic condition. She's a NICU nurse and she takes her health very seriously. And she's got an exercise room in one bedroom of her house that has three different machines in it. So there's like a reclining bike and there's a treadmill and there's an elliptical, I think. As you can imagine, they're all really big machines. Plus she has a huge closet full of camping gear. So that exercise room is so cramped, I can barely get around the machines. It's hard to get around the edge of them to climb onto the treadmills. And I don't know how she stands it, frankly. It's really tight to me. Of course, she's thinner than me. So that may be helpful for her. You know, my rear end gets in the way trying to get around some of these machines. But she also has the camping closet that is a black hole of camping gear. And it's full of stuff to support a Boy Scout troop that her boys have aged out of membership from long since, but they were all, you know, her husband and her three boys were all big in Boy Scouts and they went on all those, you know, Boy Scouts go camping all the time. So there was constant, as they were growing up, there was constant camping and managing, and she was a troop leader and he was a troop leader. And there was all this action going on. So they have this huge camping closet full of gear. But she's an excellent example of the recreational and exercise equipment that's gotten a wee bit out of control. So at least she's still using the exercise equipment, but the camping gear has lived its useful life and needs to be seriously thinned down. And we're not there yet, though. She's not ready, but I'm doing my best to talk her through that. So my question is, what about you? What does your fitness gear or equipment look like? Is there a machine set up and is it covered in clothes? Or is it being used to store boxes? I've often seen, like, we need the floor space. I need to store something. And so someone will stack a series of boxes on top of the treadmill. Well, clearly, if there's boxes on the treadmill, nobody's using the treadmill. So now's the time to decide what works for your fitness routine and what doesn't. So we're going to go through a few little suggestions for you to consider and see if it applies to you. Wrangling the stuff required for the gym, the hiking trail, the beach, the pool shouldn't be an obstacle to your fitness activity. So invest a little time in sorting and evaluating and organizing your exercise clothing and gear to make it support the fitness routines you're doing or the exercise habits you'd like to cultivate. This is another area where we spend money and gather clothing, gear, equipment. And sometimes buying exercise gear is a separate hobby from actually exercising. So sometimes you end up with a lot of gear and then you never actually use all the gear that you bought. Sometimes you're standing in the sports corps or academy and you're thinking, oh man, this all looks fabulous. Can't wait. And I'm going to buy all these things and it's going to make all of my exercising better. And then you use 20% of it and the rest of it never actually gets used. So this is a place where I would go through and filter. Am I still wearing all this exercise gear? Have I been so enthusiastic about exercising that now these are worn out and they need to be replaced? Have I never worn this exercise gear because every time I look at it and I think I'm not ready to put that on, or I can't possibly get into that, or I'm embarrassed when I put this on because I don't want this much of my skin showing, whatever the, you know, whatever that your evaluation of it is, whatever keeps you from putting it on or you put it on so much, it's worn out. Now's the time to go through and make some realistic choices about what you're actually going to put on and what you're never going to put on, and pass the things on that are ready to be gone. This is an Ed idea. If you're struggling with fitness goals, out of sight, out of mind is not your friend. So store your walking shoes or the dog's leash or the yoga mat, etc., where you'll see them whenever you need a reminder. So those of us that go to sleep about exercising and can't be bothered to remember sometimes need that visual reminder or stimulation to go, oh yeah, yeah, I wanted to go to the yoga place today, or I wanted to go out for a walk and here's my shoes. So you might create a little station area parking space for the things that you want to be reminded to do. And the dog's leash, you know, the dog's leash is a perfect one. That is, you know, forced walking by dog. Well, and so you got to do it no matter what.
You probably honestly don't need to give yourself any reminders about the walking the dog, because the dog will remind you to walk the dog.
Right. Well, and even if you are somebody who just, the dog reminds you they need to pee and you let them out the back door and wait for them to come back in, you can also up that game and say, okay, instead of just letting him out the door, I'm going to try to walk him around the block. And so you can use them as a trigger to go, oh yeah, maybe I want to, it's lovely outside, maybe I'll take a walk around the block with the dog and give him something new to smell. Yes. While he relieves himself.
He will appreciate it.
Right? If you're starting a new routine or restarting an old one, you really want to evaluate all the stuff you've collected for your particular sport or fitness regimen and get realistic about what needs to take up space in your home. If you have clothing, shoes, and equipment that would require an Olympic level of fitness to use, or for an activity you can't see yourself ever doing again, let it go to make room for more practical gear. I know that you did rock climbing when you were 20, but you may not be rock climbing anymore. So, and actually the client who has the three exercise machines, her husband's a retired cop and he still goes rock climbing, and he went to an indoor rock wall to climb recently. And somehow he leaped up to grab a rock and tore something. He like had an issue. And so he's having to recuperate and not go on the rock climbing wall. Well, yeah, because we're not 20 anymore. And sometimes it doesn't work so well. So he's having to be more gentle with himself and let himself heal. And I'm sure that he will try rock climbing again, but he's very athletic and he's very, you know, for 60, whatever he is, he's in very good shape. And so, even people that are in really good shape still injure themselves and things still go awry in as you get older. So you may age out of what used to be a very enthusiastic way to exercise, and now you need to shift gears a little bit. And so it's time to go look at your equipment and go, am I really going to rollerblade again? Do I really feel safe in motion on wheels in a straight line anymore on the street? Maybe not. I don't want to fall down and have something snap. And so changing your gear to what you will actually do is very important.
Well, and of course, we're not suggesting that you have to get rid of the stuff you use infrequently, or if there's a possibility,
mm-hmm. you know, if you feel comfortable in it.
There's some, you know, it's okay to have some things that are aspirational. It's, but the point is, as always, the stuff becomes clutter when it's keeping you from doing something else. If you have mm-hmm. so much stuff that you don't use that there isn't space to spread out the yoga mat that you do use, then there's a problem. Then something's got to go.
Right. You need to make some space for it.
We have lots and lots of good comments. So let me throw in a couple before we move on. This is actually kind of on last week's tittle, but Dawn said, I recently got a subscription to a writing magazine. Because of this tittle, I started to realize that I need to connect reading the magazine with follow through, putting it on my calendar, to Google items for potential purchase, questions to submit to a Q&A column, etc. So that's terrific.
That's awesome.
Connecting habits. And then Anya said, I'm trying out different habits at present, prefer the procedure in the morning, what to do first, what to do second, and so on. On the topic of fitness, Deborah said, I keep a swim bag ready and a tennis bag ready. I can just grab and go. That's actually, we haven't even gotten to that point, have we yet?
No, yeah. Having a bag that is filled with the stuff that you need is a great idea, so that you don't have to be gathering it every time you go, okay, I have the inclination to go swim or go to the gym or whatever. You have a bag that's ready to go.
That's on the subtopic of setting yourself up for success, which we're about to get to. Isabel said, I'm cracking up that you have the gym mat as the background picture. That is really pinching me. Because I got a mat for Christmas so that I can exercise at home during the pandemic. But do you think that I've used it in the last 4 months? Nope.
Blush. That's okay. We didn't design this particularly to poke on you.
It was just a thought.
Oh, that's awesome.
But let's talk about setting yourself up for success.
Okay. So we can set yourself up for success by first unpacking and repacking your gym bag, your pool bag, whatever your exercise, like people that go hiking, then they take a bag of water and snacks. As soon as you get home from your activity, take that bag out, unpack it, resupply anything you need that you've run out of. If you're going to the gym, for instance, or the pool, you probably have shampoo and deodorant and sunscreen stuff. If you're hiking, here's some fresh socks and headband or the scrunchie. Maybe you take a particular iPod to go listen to music while you're doing it. Anything in there that, as you carry it, you're going to add trash. You're going to shuffle things around. It might get, dusty or dirty. So pull everything out. Send things off to the wash if you need to, and repack the bag for the next time. This is the shopping equivalent of, I bought the stuff and I bring the stuff home in a bag and then I have to put it away. You have to do the same thing with your gym bag or your pool bag or whatever, your activity bag, your beach bag. It's going to have picked up stuff along the way, and you're going to need to take things out so that they don't spoil, and refresh and restock the bag to be ready to go the next time. And that's one of those into the activity chores that you have to do before you collapse on the couch. Yeah. If you've been to the beach or the lake or the pool, you need to be sure to deal right away with wet towels, swimsuits, pool floaties that are going to be damp, toys, anything else that might've gotten wet. So you don't want those wet things to stay in the bag and then sit there for 3 days. And then when you open it up, it's like, oh my God, you're starting to make your swimsuit turn into a pile of mold. So that's one of those things you got to fluff. That's like putting the meat in the refrigerator. You got to come home and take the wet stuff out and put them somewhere so they don't turn into a mess.
Well, and this is one where Jaime's enormous help to me, because I got home from the pool yesterday and he had grabbed, we have a little IKEA folding drying rack, mm-hmm. and he had set it up where I could immediately take out my towel, throw my swimsuit on it. So they're drying overnight,
and then air dry,
and then he'll pack it all up and put it back in the pool bag so it's ready, ready for me.
That's awesome. That's very good.
It's about removing the obstacles, mm-hmm. Removing any barriers, anything that makes it easy to say, oh well, I can't do that because
my swimsuit's still wet,
yeah.
or it smells bad or whatever, right? Well, and also the act of packing up to go somewhere is a path rife with distraction, right? On the way to filling up the bag and deciding what's going to go in the bag and all those things, then you are randomly walking through your house and you can be easily distracted or diverted from your goal. And so if you have that bag ready to go, when you have the thought, then you can do it and get out before you can get distracted to something else. Okay. If you're planning for morning exercise, then you can set up the stuff you'll need the night before. And if you need the visual reminder, lay it out where you can't help but see it. A lot of ADD people will put it in front of the front door or the door to the car, if that's the garage door, so that when you open the door, you're opening the door and tripping over the bag when you do it. And so it's a visual reminder to oh yeah, I was going to do this today. Rinse and refill your water bottle and put it in the fridge overnight. If you're going to go exercising in warm conditions, it'd be great to have some cool water, right? So some of the prep when you have the thought the night before is I'm throwing the bag in by the front door and I'm going to go fill my water bottle and stick it in the fridge so it's cool and I can grab it and go when I'm in the morning. If you want to work out on your way home, way to or from your job. So when you're coming home from work or going to work, put the packed gym bag in the car the night before or place it where you keep your purse or briefcase. We're assuming that you've established a routine for staging your purse or wallet and keys for the next day already. And if not, here's a fresh incentive to start that helpful habit. Here's where I park my keys and my briefcase, and you're adding to your go out the door collection, the gym bag, the pool bag, the whatever bag, the hiking bag. If your preferred mode of relaxation or exercise involves the great and sometimes muddy outdoors, be sure to set aside time at the end of each adventure to clean your gear so that it's ready for the next time. Clean your walking shoes, your hiking boots, the cleats or the bicycle so that you won't have to chisel off dry mud the next time you're ready to go out. The added benefit is that cleaning promptly and thoroughly will extend the lifespan of the equipment. And Ed wanted to throw in here about the kayaks.
The thing about kayaks is if you kayak in fresh water, you have to be a little conscientious about taking them from one lake to another lake or river, because sometimes things will attach themselves and get transported from one body of water to another, which is undesirable. And so it's kind of important to clean your kayaks before you, you know, when you're finished with each outing. And so this is kind of a reminder that part of the plan for any kind of activity is the thing at the end, the cleanup, the wrap up, the put away.
When you're exhausted and tired and sweating and hot and miserable.
And especially when you're doing a fitness activity, it's a little hard to budget that bit of energy, but it's important, you know, to keep your equipment in the best possible shape and
make starting it again easy.
Yeah.
So, well, and I guess there's some level of warm down that's required, and maybe you can think of the cleaning as the warm down portion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're doing some, you know, scrubbing and washing and cleaning, maybe that's part of you, you know, dialing down from having been at a high energy level.
One of my tricks was to always kayak with someone 10 or 15 years younger than me who would have a reserve of energy washing the kayaks at the end. And I can just sort of stand around
and look,
looking supervisory.
And there's your incentive to exercise with a partner so that someone else is in charge of cleaning. That's so funny. Okay. So you can also revisit your in-home exercise space to make sure it's doing the job. Can you get to the machines easily? Is your music or TV accessible? Do you have adequate range of motion when you use the machine? You're not like almost about to bang the wall every time you move your arm or run the elliptical, or are you close? Are you safe when you're operating it? That's what you really want to know. And if you were to fall out of the exercise bike, if you were like, are you going to whack yourself onto furniture or a wall or something? Give yourself some room if you can do it. So that if there's any kind of incident in there, maybe you'll be less injured when you do it. Make sure it's safe. Make sure it's doing the job for you in there. If you're a camping person, this is a much bigger reset the gear kind of a situation. So refreshing the camping gear, if you use it or like to use it a lot, the last time you used it, of course, you come home, and when it's time to go home, you start madly packing in a big hurry and making a big mess while you're packing. Most people don't carefully pack up to go home like they pack to go. And so you need to get all that gear out and find out what's really needed and how much of it went in and got packed dirty and needs to be cleaned, and what's ready to be passed on, and how much did I pack that I never used and it was a bad idea. I need to thin it out. If you're a big camper, it's time to go get out that gear and refresh it. So that is our commentary about, you know, exercising and getting yourself ready. Does anybody have any questions about it that they want to say? My tennis shoes are my equipment, I see.
We have a ton of great comments.
Okay.
Lynn said, I wrote a list of everything needed on an index card for the clubhouse pool water aerobics class. The index card is taped by the door for me to check to make sure all items are packed, ready to go.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's a terrific suggestion. A checklist. Yeah. Anya said, I still keep my step aerobics stepper. I hopefully will be able to use in the future. She has mentioned having some health issues that are restricting her ability to exercise right now. I don't want to get rid of it because I had always enjoyed that exercise. I think that's a very valid reason to hang on to something. If it's the thing that you love and it gets you active.
Yeah. Just the fact that you use the word, I like to do that. That's it. Like if that's the one that makes you get emotion, then you just need to get well and get to where you can safely return to the exercise, and then it'll be waiting there for you to do it.
Most fitness gurus who aren't trying to sell you something would agree. the exercise that's going to work best for you is the one that you will do.
Right. Exactly. And so, if you like it and it makes you happy when you do it, then you just need to wait until you're okay to do it again. And that's fine. That's excellent.
Pat said, I am not an outdoor person, nor do I have any history of exercising, but last week I started a virtual workout class, optional sit or stand. This gives me the incentive of a group, and I've only had to add a rubber ball and hand weights, minimal impact on my environment. That's great.
That's awesome. Yeah. And so having some place to where you sit, near where you sit, being a basket to hold the ball and the weights so that if there's some reason why you want to move them out of the way, if somebody comes over or something, you just pick up the box or the basket and take it out. And in the meantime, it can be right there where you sit or stand or, you know, get on the ground to do the work with the class. That's awesome. Good for you. That's very, adventurous.
Ellie says, looking for an organization to donate bicycles. I have adult sized bikes. Bikes for Kids is great for smaller bikes. The group repairs donated bikes and makes people aware of helmets and safety training. There are also groups that take donations to buy new bikes for kids in financial need. Do you know of an organization to donate bicycles to?
It specifically takes adult bikes?
Yeah.
No, but you could see if there is some kind of a bike repair shop in your area. Anybody that does bike repairs, it's going to be a bike shop. So it's going to sell new bikes and it's going to also be doing repairs on bikes. You might contact them and ask them. They will be much more likely to know if there's some kind of process going on in your area to deal with bikes. Sometimes a bike shop will take them, maybe be selling them as used ones for people, depending. And I'm guessing they would have some resources that way. But you can also, if you really just want them to go to somebody, then you can get on Facebook Marketplace or get on Nextdoor and go, hey, I've got these bikes. Who would like to have them?
Yeah. And
if let somebody claim them.
Well, and if you want to keep from starting up pandemonium, put a modest price on it. And then when you find somebody who sounds like they're sincerely willing to come get them and has the need, you don't have to take the money when they show up. You can just let them take the bikes.
Right. Exactly. You can get them there because they're willing to pay the money and then just let them have the bike.
And speaking of bikes, Connie said, I need to test and buy a new wide, comfy saddle for my bike. This might be the KITA that I need as soon as shops reopen here. That's the new acronym. Initialism. I guess it's really not an acronym. It's an initialism that I learned last week. Sarah said, my fitness routine is walking. Unfortunately, I sometimes walk near shops and end up going in and buying something like I did yesterday.
Uh-oh. And
Sophia had the very good suggestion to try leaving the wallet at home or walking in an area where there's less temptation.
Well, and the thing about it is if you walk into a shop, then you basically slow down the walking. You slow down the exercise because once you go in the shop, you're no longer at an exercise pace on the walking. So you're really sort of taking a exercise break when you go in the store. So yeah, you may have to go, la, 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 I'm not shopping, or I'm going to shop on the return, or something like that. You know, give yourself a pause, a minute to say, do I really have to go in this store? Why don't I just come back? Let's see if I still want to go in it on the return trip. And maybe on the return trip, you'll be so much more tired. You'll just be ready to, like, I just need to get home because I'm out of steam. It'll keep you from going to the store.
Sylvie says, no equipment, no gear, no space, no bother. I try to walk 30 minutes every day. And once a week, I walk 5 kilometers, around 3 miles, to the center of the city. After I'm done with my chores slash shopping slash tasks, I take the metro back home. But
that's
even
a great idea.
Well, and you know, that's one of the reasons walking is my main exercise of preference.
The least barrier to entry.
You need some good shoes. And for me, because I'm kind of a cold climate guy, you need something to mop the sweat with if the temperature is above 60. But that's about it. Everything else is optional, you know.
Right.
If you walk somewhere where you'll have access to water fountains, you don't need to carry your own water. And the iPod, you know, an iPod is nice. Lately, I accessorize with a dog.
My dad's been walking around his neighborhood for a couple of years now. And he goes out every day with his little water bottle and, you know, his tennis shoes and his sweatpants. And, you know, in the cold, he's been wearing a jacket. But basically, you just have to dress for the weather and hit the road in comfortable shoes. And that's what he does every day. And it really works for him.
And Emily Sue said, I walk about 3 days a week, but my goal is to run every day. The only thing in the way between me and running every day is deciding what to wear from my closet. I think I'll get out my workout clothes the night before and put it in a place that is visible. Perfect.
Right. That's a great idea. And also pull them all out and make sure that they're all still in good shape. And if you haven't, if it's gear that you haven't worn for a while, if it's specifically running stuff that you haven't used or tried on for a while, you may need to check and make sure, is the elastic still good? The thing about exercise gear is it's made out of all this super fancy engineered fabrics that has the wicking and the stretching. And, you know, it's all this thread, types of thread that isn't in regular clothing. It's only in exercise clothing. And so it dies quicker and the stretch falls apart more. And it's specific stuff that has to be maintained and refreshed and checked on more often than regular clothes, because the washing and the sweating and the stretching all affect the shape and the wear of the fabric. So just pay attention to how good a shape it's in. And if you only have a few things to pick from, makes the choice easier, and you can, you know, just get them into a cycle to wash.
Anita said, I have learned that the only way I will exercise is if I'm in a class, it's done to music, and I can't leave without being obvious
or embarrassed to go. Right,
my exercise machine was a great rack for ironing, but was seldom used. I gave it away to my daughter-in-law, and she left it on the curb for adoption when they moved. The other two, an exercise bike and rowing contraption that I got for free at the curb, were sold at a garage sale when I moved.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, I think that all of us hope that we'll do it at home, but it's, you have to have a particular mindset, I think, to do that, because the idea of being in the space where I intend to be relaxing and recuperating from my day is not conducive to me thinking about winding up to be energetic. So the idea of a machine in the house just doesn't work for me at all. But if you have a routine of getting out and doing it out in a class, that's awesome. And you found a class you like, good deal.
In Weight Watchers, one leader gave us an assignment. Stay in physical contact with your exercise equipment for 5 minutes, even if you don't move. Eventually, you will get so frustrated that you will get on and actually use it.
I like it. Stand there and stare at it for 5 minutes.
And that, you know, that sort of connects to my strategy of saying that everything counts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I was recovering from eye surgery and there was really very little I could do, I still made a point of putting on the clothes and putting on the shoes and having somebody go with me to walk down to the end of the block and back and saying, there, I exercised today. For one thing, there's the power of establishing a habit or establishing or maintaining a habit.
Maintaining the habit, yeah.
You stay in the habit no matter how little you can do at the particular time because of your limitations.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that when the limitations are resolved, which, you know, we hope they are for anybody who's got one.
You're still in the habit.
You're still in the habit. Yeah.
And, you know, you were really, he had the gas bubble thing and he had to lay on a certain side all day long. And you got a reprieve for 10 minutes, an hour or something to get up or whatever.
Yeah. I was allowed to take 10 minute breaks every however many hours.
Yeah. So you couldn't, walking to the end of the block and back was all that you were allowed to be upright anyway. So
yeah, it was kind of all there was time for.
Right. You did it and you went back down and, you know, at least you got to circulate for 10 minutes some blood after you, because basically you were on your left side for, you know, 3 days or whatever. And I can't imagine what it would have been like if you hadn't been able to get up and move for an hour, for 10 minutes every hour to go do something. Really miserable otherwise.
We better move along. I want to remind our viewers and listeners that our YouTube channel has more than 150 videos on lots and lots of organizing topics. Go to cfhou.com/YouTube. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube and then click the bell icon next to the subscribe button if you'd like to get notifications whenever we post new content. We want to say a special thank you to Fluffcat and Sandy for becoming our newest Patreon supporters this week. And to Linda, who recently doubled her monthly donation level.
Thank you.
If you'd like to help support our efforts with a recurring monthly donation of any size, please visit cfhou.com/Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N.
Right.
Your contributions help us offset the costs of producing the weekly webcast and will help us fund new projects that we have in the works. Thank you again for your generosity, Linda, Sandy, Fluffcat, and all our patrons. We want to try and keep our production as ad-free as possible. You know, we do monetize our videos on YouTube, but with only ads at the start, skippable ads at start and end, or short ads, and none of the interruptions in the middle. And we would kind of like, I've considered the idea of looking for podcast sponsors, but I hate when I'm listening to a podcast and they stop in the middle to pitch a product.
And give a commercial, yeah.
And so I think if we ever found an advertiser that was something really useful and helpful to our audience, we might consider that. But Patreon's even better, and we're working on some benefits for our Patreon supporters. So thank you.
I'd also like to thank Marcy H. from Pennsylvania, who was not excited about using Patreon, so she just sent me a check in the mail instead. So thank you so much to Marcy for doing that. It was a generous donation, and we appreciate that you are supporting our projects. Thanks so much.
I'm going to come back to you in a minute for the weekly tittle, but I want to remind everyone that we'll be back next week, Tuesday, April 27th, 2021 at noon U.S. Central Time, live in Zoom and streaming on Facebook. We're going to talk about the clutter implications of shared space.
So
spouses,
exciting.
Parents, children, roommates, housemates all introduce extra complexity to our organizing challenges. Next week, we're going to offer ideas for improving communication, negotiation, and cooperation to decrease household conflict and clutter.
There you go. If you're living with somebody, I know you're arguing about it, so we're going to talk about it.
Okay, let's get to the weekly tittle.
Okay, this week's fitness and fun themed tittle is entitled "The Journey of 1,000 Miles Begins with Putting on a Walking Shoe." So your stuff should not be an obstacle to your exercise goals or your recreational activities. So try one of these tasks to streamline your routine this week. Is your exercise bike serving as a clothing rack? Let's start there. Put those clean or dirty clothes where they really belong and get to pedaling again. Take inventory. Are you keeping clothing or equipment for a sport or an activity in which you'll never participate again? It's time to donate it to someone who will actually use it. We all have gear that we tried and we didn't like, or gear that we used to use and now that's not our thing. And so it's a perfect population to pull out and donate what is no longer on your list of fun things to do. You can identify something standing in the way of your recreational activity or your health regimen that you'd like to establish. So and Ed, for instance, needed a combination lock to go to the Y. So replace your worn out walking shoes with a new pair, replace the torn yoga mat with something that works better, figure out what is keeping you, shutting you down, what's keeping you from doing your activity, and try to solve that problem so that you can get back in motion again. Revisit your in-home exercise space to make sure it's doing the job. Can you get to the machines easily? Is your music or TV accessible? Do you have adequate range of motion when you use the machine? So checking that the room is set up in a way that allows you to use it and doesn't make you uncomfortable or feel unsafe or get in the way of you getting on the machine. You may have built some physical barriers. I know lots of people do. Somehow the space around the exercise machines always looks like a good place to park things. And so then you sort of wall the machine into the room with other things. So it's a perfect time to go, now the time has come to clear out the things that are in the way of the machine and let me get those taken care of and deal with it and move on. So perfect time to do that. That's what the tittle is this week. See if you can get yourself into a little bit of motion in the lovely spring. And we will look forward to hearing about it when you come back next week.
Okay, if you're watching this on YouTube, we'd love for you to join us live. And one of the benefits is you get the unfiltered after show. So to get notifications about upcoming events, we invite you to join the meetup group by visiting cfhou.com/meetup. You can also follow us on Facebook by visiting cfhou.com/Facebook. Or subscribe to our mailing list by visiting cfhou.com/subscribe. We love to hear from our viewers and listeners, so please keep those questions and topic suggestions and comments coming on YouTube, Facebook, or anywhere that you find us. And you can always reach us through our website at clutterfairyhouston.com.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us this week, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.